Iron Mike Tyson. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Anthony, you was over my house and we had a long conversation about gangsters and everything in Atlantic City.
Actually, in Vegas, man. I was over.
Vegas?
Yeah, I was in Vegas with you. And in fact, I think Don was there at the time. And I used to cover boxing for the Post. And so many times in your hotel room and all that stuff. You were one of the best. I used to love. Anytime you fought, you were such a great guy to talk with.
Hey, what happened? What are you working with Atlantic City now?
Yeah, we're in Philly now.
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah, Philly. Yeah. I'm in Philadelphia. I left New York, and now I'm in Philly. And dude, you were always. You know what I loved about you too is you were so from the heart. You're always from the heart. You always spoke your mind. You're honest, and you're always fun.
You got to live in this world the best way you can, man. You know, anywhere else is too complicated. You're saying a bunch of lies. God, you got to remember all the lies you said.
Too much work there.
Well, and I think, you know, it's funny because as I watch you now, you know, and I look and we both, my co-host Rob, we both love the Undisputed Truth. We love the book and we love Spike Lee's HBO special with you. And, you know, you just you're just telling your stories, man. That's what it is.
Hey, man, we're not going to be here long, man. So, you know, we're going to die one day. It's going to be over. And that's just the best way to live your life. That's what I'm realizing.
Hey, Mike, the thing that amazed me is what I love about the show, you take it from Jump Street. You go everywhere with it, and you're not afraid to go into some real dark areas. But it's also really funny at times. I mean, the account of the Mitch Blood Green thing is absolutely awesome. How tough was it when you first started doing it to open up about some of that stuff?
Well, you know, when I first did it, I wanted it to be a real serious, you know, stage documentary about my life. But once I started doing it, I started show, people started laughing a lot. And I understand why they were laughing at some really dark moments. And I didn't understand it at first. And as time went on, I realized, well, if they're laughing, that means they're having a good time and it's a good show, regardless on the way they're perceiving it. But I was just happy that they enjoyed it.
Hey, Mike, just give us a quick snippet of the Mitch Blood Green.
That's my favorite part.
Just because if some people that haven't heard it, they're going to love it. And don't forget, Mike's going to be at Caesars Atlantic City on the 25th. You got to go check him out.
Oh, man.
Just give me a little snippet, Mike.
It's hard to say. Hold on, let me see. I can't think. I could use bad words over the radio.
Yeah, try not to use that too, but bad words. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the word.
I can't.
Just use the word F. That's all you got to say.
Hey, you Anna, what you doing up here, Mike? I can't even do it without cursing. Man. I can't even do it.
So Mike's coming out of the club, and Mitch Blood Green's out on the street just kind of waiting for him.
You're buying clothes.
Right.
I was buying clothes. It was like a bootleg.
Okay.
Fugazi where they could make fake clothes that looked like the real clothes.
But he might have been on something, and he kept coming at you.
He was on something. He was on something, all right.
Yeah, you said you landed the hardest punches you ever landed in your life, and this guy didn't even
I'm
get rocked.
Beating this guy, but he's not listening. I don't know if he's fighting back or if I'm just hitting him so much that he's unable to fight back. But he's not falling down. He's going from just like Weevil's, just like one way, like
Weeble-wobble.
Power of pizza. Yeah. One way, not hitting the ground, but coming back, and I'm cracking him. Oh, man.
He was whacked out of his mind that day. He was crazed. What, Mike, what if you go back into your career, what would be the fight that you would go, I want that one? To this day, I'd still like to have that one back.
I don't know. I never looked at it like that. I tried to do my best not to get too personal with them because they drive you crazy. You're walking around the rest of your life still thinking about those fights and you can't go on with your life. I'm just happy with whatever career I had. I gave it my best and I'm doing other stuff now.
Do you like this? It seems like first of all, the whole stuff with the hangover stuff, I know everybody loved it, and you got a presence about you. So your show, which I love with the pigeons, was great. I mean, do you enjoy this part of it?
I love stage. You know, I'm going to do some movie stuff with Warner Herzog and some other directors, but this is what I love. I love being on stage. That's my best stuff to do on stage.
Yeah, no, you also did some TV, too. I saw you at Law & Order and a couple other shows. Is there anything else in the works as far as TV and movies?
We're going to do more of that stuff. We're going to start producing our own shows in our own movies and stuff now, me and my wife. But what we really want to do is the stage. We might start producing behind the scenes some stage stuff.
Dude, you know what's uncanny is I remember years ago sitting with you, and you said, I'm going to be Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because you think, remember when he comes at the end, he's on the stage, but it's in a really, you know, sad kind of way. And here you are, you're in the bright lights, and it really is worked out. And I still go back to you saying, I'm going to be Sonny Liston. And yet you're Sonny Liston with a happy ending.
Thank God. But it could be a happy ending. The only thing between me and guys like Sonny Liston and Leon Spinks is my support system. The guys didn't have a real proper support system at that stage of their career, as soon as their career was over. You know, Sonny, I mean, Leon may have one now, but right as soon as his career was over, boom, he had nothing to fall down in but despair.
We're speaking with Mike Tyson, Undisputed Truth. So, Mike, Anthony and I were talking about this before you came on. The heavyweight division hasn't been the same since you left. Do you still follow it, and why do you think it's fallen off the way it has? Is it personalities?
Well, definitely. No personality, and more the internet had a lot to do with it, too. Nowadays, instead of being home doing your push-ups or going outside finding the gym, guys are looking at the internet, perving out on the internet, or else caught up with some games on the internet now. You know, they're not the desire, the hunger to do this anymore. You know, in the heavyweight, it's not hungry to do this stuff.
Yeah, just being out there, right? I mean, think about it, because you're right. All the kids locked in.
Remember before, we met all our friends by being outside, hey, I'm such and such. They meet their friends over the internet now. They never even have to leave the house.
Yeah, and we would be out playing all day.
You're playing sports, you know, running around chasing each other, playing games, but now they're not doing nothing.
No, that's so true.
We're now into the area where, what they call that, this is the entitlement period. Everybody's entitled. They feel entitled to have things without working.
You know, you kind of lose. You lose the interpersonal stuff. You lose the conversation. Like, we started the interview, right, with I'm telling you about you and I having these conversations, and I remember them, and they resonate with me. And you know what that is? That's interpersonal conversation and connecting with someone in that way, not through a text or a chat room.
Well, that's why people have text now, because they don't want to talk to the person, you know, intimately. So let me just text them and get it over with. You know what I mean? It's a way of avoiding who you really are. And can you handle this particular conversation? I can handle somebody chastising me and talk to me so much better with the internet, somebody texting me, than I could face-to-face.
Yeah. That's so true. You still into sports, Mike?
A little bit.
But you see, now it seems like you're into story. And if we go back... do you remember like the look in the eyes of guys when they would step into the ring? Remember, I'd sit with Wally Matthews, right? These good buddy of mine from the post, and we look at the fighter, and we knew you had them right from jump. You could tell in the eye, you know.
That was from my trainer, my mentor Cussman. He had the psychology of fear down to a science.
Yeah, what did he teach you about that? How were you able to convey that?
Man, if you lived with Cuffman, you'd be afraid. You he was, you know, he was a little small Italian guy, but he was a scary dude, man. He has had that intimidation factor down to a science. He had it down. No, really, he must have did research on it. He had it down to a science.
That's pretty cool. And you were the perfect guy to deliver. I mean, just the idea, because in so many ways, it was you and Michael Jordan who really represented that era of you know, American culture in a lot of ways.
Cuff always said, hitting on the way intimidated more than looking at him.
I just thought, when you walk in the ring, you're bare bones, no socks, you're ready to go. And it's just like, you could just go, you know, look at them, and they're ready to run.
Yeah, Mike, how'd you come up with the concept to go away from the robe and all the traditional stuff that most guys came in with?
I don't know. I used to watch movies, and when I watch movies, I think the robes wasn't even in existence, like 1900 or something. And I had watched Dempsey come in the ring, and he had the towel around him, and he had just such an ominous look about him. And he had such a dysfunctional that Philly high top fade, but his was horrible. It was like he put a bowl on his head and went around the bowl. But it looked real ominous, and I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that one. When you watch my first couple of fights, it was like a bowl went around my head and had a horrible high top fade. And it really wasn't a fade, it was just my hair and the sides were just chopped off around my head.
Yeah, that was the look, though, in the 80s, man. That was it with the high top fade. It was you and Kid and Play.
Oh, now mine wasn't that high, God. Mine was some naps with the sides cut off.
We're talking to Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson is going to be Caesars Atlantic City. And this one-man play is absolutely phenomenal. You got to check it out on the 25th.
It took on a life of its own. I'm touring all over the world. What if you want to see the tour? Even after seeing it on HBO, everybody still wants to see. I can't, but I still after HBO, I wouldn't be touring no more. I'd be doing another show. And I can't even do another tour because I'm getting so many requests from overseas, from people who can't even speak English. How am I going to say to them?
Wow! Just do me a favor. Don't go to North Korea, all right?
Rodman. Don't worry about that stuff. You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, after the Rodman situation.
Oh, what's wrong with him? Did you see him go crazy on Tacoma on the news? He just lost it.
Yeah. Well, seriously, and by the way, how do you go out there? How do you let him back in? He kind of stay out there.
That's what I was asking. Man, they're going to probably arrest him once he get back to this country.
Yeah, I mean, on top of what
this
he said about
really,
the... Yeah.
When you saw Charles Smith, who you know is a decent person, the basketball player Charles Smith trying to stop him, I could not believe that Charles Smith would be involved with that unless it was something advantageous for him. But I couldn't believe how Dennis Rodman, he's leading the way and leading in such a... Man, it's such a disappointing factor. You know, it wasn't good, and he just didn't help them. He didn't help the cause any. It's just, listen, I know somebody, when I want to, nobody can stop me from making a fool of myself. But that was just really, some really bad stuff. It wasn't, like, really funny. It's like a scene. You couldn't even believe that's real. But, you know, if I would have woke up in the middle of it, I would have thought it was a sketch or something. It was really some bad stuff when you look at it. And he put those other guys in a bad predicament, too. They may never get a job to work with or get involved with the NBA again in their life.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do you go on? That's the thing. I mean, how do you look at Dennis Rodman again, knowing that, you know, to me it's treason. It's borderline treason, Mike.
Listen, hey, borderline treason is treason. It's treason 100%. You know, and I'm not politically inclined on that stuff, but when you put examine nation of treason, that is treason. He's in another land that's the enemy of our land, and he's talking to us. Excuse me. He's talking really bad to our guys over here. You know what I mean? That's really, that's kind of like treason.
Yeah. I'm so with you.
And he's defending those guys.
Yep. That's the worst
plus
part.
Plus, those guys got one of our boys over there in prison, and he's defending them, saying, do you know what that guy did? No, you don't either. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, how do you sit there knowing the heinous things that Kim Jong-un did, that this dictator did? How do you sit there and defend that when he's helping?
Because you become his lackey. He must have paid them for money. It's all about for money and stuff, because I'm sure Dennis not doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
Exactly. Yeah, we know that.
No, that's exactly right. And you go, all right, well, listen, money's money, and we all need it to survive, but to what extent?
All money's not good money, though.
Yeah. You sell out your country,
all
man.
All money's not good money.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a great point you bring up, too, because, you know, when you get money from a bad source, it just brings about bad karma.
Yeah. All money's not good money. Some money's blood money, and blood and blood go together.
Amen. Amen, brother. So where are you going to take the show, man? Where else? What other parts of the world are you going to go? That's pretty cool. I can see you in London, man. You would kick it in England.
Listen, they wouldn't let me go in England, believe it or not. But listen, we're going to Denmark, all the Swedish,
the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah. We're going to Holland. Where else are we going to? We're going to do a bunch of places, man. We're going to Italy.
You go to my homeland, Mike.
Yes, going to Paris. We're going to a place that, man, it's just really good. I just left Dubai. They loved the show. I did two shows a night there, and it was just awesome.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic.
Congrats. I think we're going to Prague. We're going to some other bunch of places, man.
That is incredible.
Nine different places. And my book is an international seller. It's sold out in all the countries, too. I have six other different countries. This one, the first time that a gentleman that's from American sold out and became a bestseller across the world.
How about it, man? Isn't that beautiful? Mike Tyson, The grateful. Undisputed Truth is the name
very
of the
grateful.
Book. And I, you know, I never forget how many people, man, because when we were doing, when you were fighting, everybody was always after you to write. Oh, Mike, you got to write your story. And here it comes out. And once you've done it, I mean, this book is amazing. I read it. It's great.
Me and my writer, Raptor, we're getting ready to do another book about my learnings and my leader secrets from Cus D'Amato. What it was like being with Cus and what he told me and what he taught me. It's going to be really interesting. Everybody wants to do it. The book companies.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, listen, we talk about the one-man show. I want to see back-to-back Mike Tyson, and I want to see Bronx Tale back-to-back, the one-man show.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Right?
I mean, that's how I got my inspiration to do it.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Listen, I went and saw Chaz Palminteri of Bronx Tale on stage with my wife, right? And when I saw the show, listen, the house was packed. You couldn't hear nobody breathe. Did you hear me? The only thing we were all grasped onto every word he was saying. You couldn't hear nobody in the goddamn theater breathing. It was jam-packed, right? And I said at the end of that, I said, I want to make, the way he made me feel, I want to make other people feel. Mm. I wanted to be able to do that. And I started working with doing that stuff, because normally I've been in Europe or Asia,
right.
I'm on stage, but I'm taking questions, answering questions from the crowd. But I said, if I do it like Mr. Chaz Palminteri, I would do it like him from an artistic point of view.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about him? That he does every one of those characters.
Yeah, no, it's better than the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's better. He was better than the movie. He did it by himself.
Well, I was thinking, it's funny, I didn't know that that's where you got your inspiration, because I'm just thinking.
That's what I learned to do it for. I saw that. I said, wow, me and my wife saw that, man. We've never been the same. I got inspired by that. And you know how hard it is to inspire me?
Yeah.
The last time I've been inspired was from boxing, Cus. That's the last time I've been. Oh, God, it's so hard to be inspired.
Bring up Don King's name. You'll get inspired real fast, right, Mike?
I'll probably get depressed. I'll probably make a quail or something. Oh, God. Nah, you know what I mean, man. That
was
greatness, something for greatness, not anything for negativity. That was just beautiful.
Well, and you know what? When you get on one of your shows, you must get that high. You know, that feeling that I conquered, that same kind of feeling that I was a success that night. And that's going back to what you said about being Sonny Liston. That's Sonny Liston with the happy ending, Mike.
Yes, I agree. But the only thing, I always look and want to know how Mr. Palminteri, I always wanted to ask him, how did he like the show? Because I got the inspiration from him. I want to know, did I do this right? And, you know, I wanted to talk to him and find out. You know, I want to know, because he's the artist. He's really...
Have you talked to him?
I know. I went to see him.
No, but have you talked to him
no,
afterwards? Because,
no,
oh,
no,
you got to hook
no.
that up.
I just had Chaz on recently. In fact, I should get Chaz on. I'll tell Chaz to call you.
Did you really?
Yes.
You know him?
Yes, we did. We had him on the show because he was promoting his one man show, that Bronx Tale, which made me think of it. Well, I'll have Chaz call you.
Man, he's amazing.
He's incredible, right?
Yes, man, he's amazing. Man, you know why he's amazing? Know what makes him great? Because the only thing that makes people great, you're not great because you're a great entertainer. That's just you. When you can inspire other people, that's when you're great.
No, that's exactly right. No, and listen, you said it, that the last time you were inspired, or you became that inspiring figure, was in boxing. And look,
yeah,
at
I was a little kid last time I was inspired. That's crazy when you think about it.
But you did. You know what though? When you were at your height, you inspired so many people. People couldn't wait to watch you. They came out of there nuts, like they were all fired up.
That's awesome.
And Mike, I got to ask you about one more thing.
When
you were in prison for you know, with the Desiree Washington thing, Carol Henderson came to visit you, of the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Hey, I believe she was singing the God Bless America at the Indianapolis 500, I believe. And she must have asked the mayor, can she visit me? I have no idea, but the guard told me she was out there, Florence Henderson. And I was unable to go out there because at the time I was in segregation. I was in the hole. And I didn't want to go in there shackled up like a common criminal. I would have looked like I was Kuta Kinte somebody. Just got caught running away. So I didn't want to look that way when I saw her.
But if there was anybody in the world you think would come to visit you, it's like Mrs. Brady.
Hey, I'm just really grateful, you know.
Sure.
She gave me a lot of inspiration, made me think that they didn't believe I was the person that the prosecutor wanted me.
Right.
Wanted them to think I was.
Oh, Mike, man.
Hey, the prosecutor came to my show in San Francisco, too.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he say anything, apologize or say we screwed it up,
no,
or you got
he
wrong?
I didn't remember who he was. I was at the hotel at the buffet, and he said, wow, you have came such a long way. You have done an amazing job with your life. And I said, thank you very much, sir.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. Who else is a who
he
else
said,
is
do you remember me? How was it? I will never forget you.
Yeah,
I can't remember you. I'll never forget you.
I mean, how are you gonna forget that point? You know, I mean that's you
never
know
never in life. Never in life.
No, you're not. You're that's one thing you'll never forget.
Mm-mm.
No, I mean that and like how many when people ask you about like your fights or certain parts of your life, what do they always ask you about?
The ear biting and
yeah,
then they always say the prison stuff was such BS.
Yeah, the ear biting. You when you spit that little piece of ear out, it came right by us at the press row.
Oh no!
Yeah. I'm sitting next to Wally Matthews, and it got and the ear just the piece of the ear just comes goes right by us.
Are you hungry at the time?
But when they talk about the ear, they always talk about it in an endearing way, a funny way. I'd have bit him, too. I'd have bit him. Oh, I wish I'd bit him. When you bit him, man, we were all screaming, yelling, and hey, yeah, we had a party. I said, these people are nuts. These people are nuts.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was crazy. That was absolutely that scene was wild. And then, of course, the Tupac stuff that happens the one time.
Isn't that crazy from the other fight?
Right. I mean, I remember afterwards, like we're writing our stories and stuff, and the next thing you know, we're trying to get through the casino. It's shut down. Shots rang out, and then we found out later that Tupac got killed outside.
Unreal.
I never met. You know, I've met a whole bunch of crazy men, wild men, tough guys, both the street. I've never met a person like him.
Really?
I've never met a guy that was always living off his passion and he's fire. Constantly fire. That's the whoa.
He was that man. He was. He was intense. He was.
I said, how do he ever relax? Do you ever relax, man? Just chill out.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant guy, man. But God, he was just so passionate about everything.
That's
God, the top of his lungs. I said, whoa.
When Mike's telling you to say whoa during that time, you better slow down a little
Yo,
bit.
Chill out, man. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I got to tell you, it's been so much fun catching up with you, man. Really, it's been a blast. I can't wait to come see you. I'm going to come see you, all right, down there.
Come backstage.
All right? I can't wait, man. I'm so proud of you, man. You're doing a great job.
Come backstage when you hook up, all right?
And I will. In fact, I'll get Chaz to call you.
I would love that.
Okay?
I would love that.
Thanks, bro. Don't forget, Mike Tyson, right here, Caesars Atlantic City, the 25th. You got to check it out. It's going to be incredible. And Mike, you're killing it, man. Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you so much, Anthony. God bless, my friend.
Take care, my friend. Take it easy. There he is, the great Mike Tyson.
That was unbelievable. I got to tell you, he was in rare form.
It was incredible, wasn't he?
I mean, we ran the gamut of a lot of different things with him there. It was that was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, that was unbelievable. All right, well, we got to take a quick